Nikki.
Hello.
Okay. Well, Nikki's on her second interview process here. First one, not so formal.
Don't think we've done an interview.
No, not interview, but you had like the member spotlight video on you.
I did.
Well, introduce yourself there, Nikki.
Well, I am Nikki Hyatt. Do I have to look at the camera?
No, you don't have to.
I am almost 40, so not 40 yet.
Damn.
I know. I'm up there.
You,
I should have not
Co
started with
Colin,
that.
Colin is a little chasing after the Cougars. I didn't realize y'all had a
7-year gap.
7-year gap.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Nurse
I already tell me you're
practitioner.
older, huh?
Nurse practitioner. You're gonna stop at my like age? We're gonna like
No,
dig into
we're
that
gonna
one?
focus in the whole time about how old you are.
How old that's gonna be the
This is
base
gonna
of
be the
this?
aging population CrossFit
Okay, let's start again. I'm not gonna lead with that one again. But yeah, I am, and I'm proud of it. I've never been healthier,
There you go.
you know?
So, originally not from here.
No, I am from Panama, the country, not Florida.
No. How many people say that to you? Like, oh, you're from
Everybody,
Florida.
everybody, everybody.
Well, to be honest, like I think the first few times I ever met you, this is before you started in CrossFit, and we were seeing you at gymnastics, and Kaylee had mentioned that you were from Panama, and I was like, really? I mean, every so often you can get a hint of a subtle accent, but it's not bad. It's not like, we talk like Sandy or Connie, right? You all immediately know, okay, they're from somewhere
They're hurt.
else.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
But for you, that's not the case.
So in Panama, we have a big, obviously because of the Panama Canal, so big American population. So I actually went to, you know how they do Spanish immersion here or French immersion? So I went to, you would say, a American immersion or English immersion program. So
Okay.
all my courses were actually in English.
Okay.
So I have been speaking it since I was little. And then my dad, he had businesses in New Orleans, so we would travel back and forth all the time. So we would
Okay.
spend summers in New Orleans, Christmas holidays in New Orleans, and things like that. So my half brothers are in New Orleans, so I had that. And when we came here, it was a rule. There was no Spanish to be spoken. So now I do the opposite in my house. There's no English to be spoken
You only speak Spanish at the
at
house?
the house.
Really?
Oh
I didn't
yeah,
know that.
Colin's getting left behind though. He needs to catch up.
I
Because
thought Colin was pretty
Amelia,
fluent.
he is, but then Amelia's language is, she's now in Spanish immersion, so her language is developing, so she has more knowledge and
Okay.
there's more words, and then Colin can't keep up with those
It
sometimes.
feels like it's such a fast language, though. Like when you guys talk and I hear like you and Sandy talking in Spanish, I'm like, I feel like it's so fast.
It does sound like we're fighting all the time, and everybody has to ask us that, but we're not fighting.
Do
It's
you?
just a passionate language, it's a romantic language.
Well, I was about to ask you because I know you and Kate have talked about it a little bit because it seems like in more of a South American culture, people talk louder in general. Like everyone's kind of almost like trying to talk over each other to a degree.
Yes. So, in gatherings and things like that, everybody's always, but we are just loud people. We are. Yeah. And then what's funny is that Colin will sometimes yell or speak loudly, and he's like, that's just the way I speak. I just speak like the Panamanians do. Okay. I'm gonna let you roll with that one. But yeah, we are loud.
Yeah. What kind of businesses did your dad run?
So he had a wrecker service. It was called Rock and Roll Wrecker Service. And then he had, I think, one
A
or
rock
two
and
gas
roll?
stations. Rock and Roll Wrecker Service. I think it's still open. I think my brother just sold it to somebody
Was
else.
like it's a normal like car wrecker kind
Like
of?
car wrecker
Okay.
service.
So
Yeah.
recently I was learning about people who do like tugboats and stuff like that. How they make a shitload of money doing that kind of stuff.
To
Like
like tow them?
tow boats and stuff like that. I'm like, I guess I never realized like that was a gig, but apparently it is. Okay, well, cool deal. So what year? So you came here for college initially? Is that where you eventually moved from Panama? Or did you guys
I
move before that?
did. So, graduated 2002, took a little breaks in 2003 summer, started at LSU.
Okay.
So, when I was 18 years old.
Okay. And what'd you major in?
I majored in nursing.
Did you originally start there?
I did. So, well, I knew it was going to be medical in some sort of, I mean, in some way. So my dad, right before I came to college, I told him I wanted to be a psychologist. And he laughed in my face and said that that was not an option, that he thought that I should be a nurse. And in Panama, the nursing world is not the same as here.
Okay.
There are no nurse practitioners in Panama. This doesn't exist. There's no mid-level practice or practitioners. So even to my friends to this day, unless they lived in the U.S. and they're familiar with it, they don't know what my degree means. So they think that I am a nurse, you know, so just, you know, glorified nurse.
Like nurse practitioners, a nurse with something else on the side.
Nurse with something else, like a little specialty that you threw in there. But yeah, so when he told me that, I had no idea what nursing was because I wasn't, you know, there was no exposure. And then when you see a nurse in Panama, sometimes they're just like an assistant, you know, like a, they just do what the doctor says and, you know, they don't have any independence and that's just how they are, you know, that's how they do their practice. It's not the same. The knowledge is not the same. And So then I laughed at him and I said, I'm not doing that. I don't know what that means and I don't want to do it. But he showed me some numbers and
like financial numbers.
Financial numbers and travel nursing was my goal at that point.
Okay.
In time. So I did come.
So is the medical field held like a higher standard in Panama? Like that's like, hey, if you get in the medical field, that's like a lot of people do that here, like with like engineering as an example. Like everyone's like, oh, you really need to be an engineer or like an accountant, right?
Yeah.
Like over there is maybe like
med school.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people, I mean, most of my friends, I think, graduated with some sort of like a business degree, but some of my friends did become, you know, MD doctors. I knew that I did not want to go through med school.
Yeah.
And then going in through nursing and doing the clinicals, and I fell in love. I mean, then I just knew that's what I needed to do, and I was in the right spot.
And that's where you and Colin met, right?
So we met... So he was doing his undergrad and I was doing my master's when we met.
Yeah, because you guys were like 7 years apart.
Yes.
Once again, also old.
Once again, going back to the almost 40. So we met.
What is Colin even doing here? I didn't know he's over here with his inner.
Oh, there he is.
Is Colin even here?
Do you want to step in? He's calling me out here.
Talking about how old Nikki is right now. With his Mardi Gras shirt on. We're talking about how old Nikki is. And how young you are. That's what it is.
So we met when I was going for my master's, so nurse practitioner, and he was doing his undergrad. Mm-hmm. So he was pre-med slash biological sciences? But that sounds weird.
Okay.
Am I saying it bad?
I don't think so. Biological?
Biological sciences. Okay.
Colin's giving the head nod, so I guess it's okay.
There's a Spanish. So some words just don't come out right. And then my tongue gets tied and then I just don't know how to say it. So.
Okay. So that's where you guys met, right?
That is where we met.
Okay.
Yes.
So kind of switching gears a little bit. So what, growing up was health and fitness ever a thing? Like, were you guys like, hey, you guys need to take care of your health? You know, I know like usually in South American culture, usually is a little bit more relevant compared to American culture, but I don't know if that's how it was in your household.
So in my household, so the Panamanian, we cook very with natural ingredients, very much a lot of, there's the meat, the protein, the vegetables. So it's very much like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have a lot of fresh fruits. It's a tropical country. So we have all the fresh fruits that you could, you know, imagine. So that was always available to us. But did we have bad, you know, like the American frozen things? Absolutely. I mean, my mom... Obviously, coming back and forth, like we had the Twinkies, we had the bagel bites, the pizza little thingies, Totinos, whatever those are called. So they had something called El Área Revertida, which is where the...
Say that again?
El Área Revertida. So where the American armed forces were prior to... So, I mean, that's just going into the canal. Anyway, there was an area where all the Americans had their bases, so the American base. And then in there was like a Sam's or a Costco, if you will.
Okay.
And then because my mom was a citizen, or my dad was a citizen, my mom was a resident at that point in time, she could go in there and shop.
Mm.
So then my house had all those American little treats that weren't necessarily good, but back then, I mean, it was just, you know, nobody knew any better.
Yeah.
So we did grow up eating that. So as far as health, like movement and things like that, I danced. I did football, soccer. And then, you know, a little bit of flag football, but I don't really like that one that
tomboyish.
Much. A little flag football.
Okay.
So, and then we did spinning. I mean, a lot of spinning. So that was a big thing back then. I mean, this was the 90s. Yeah. So
spin classes.
There's a lot of spin classes going on in Panama.
I feel like that's died off a little bit over the years. Like COVID area, you know, Peloton got real big during COVID, but I feel like it's kind of fallen
now
off.
Everybody's selling them.
Everybody's selling their Pelotons.
Everybody's selling them. Except it's, Sam. She likes her Peloton.
Okay.
She still
but
likes it.
If you go on Facebook Marketplace, I mean, you can find a
bigger array of them. I see them for sale all the time.
Yeah. And so, okay, but like, did parents like do any type of fitness, like working out and like that?
No.
Okay.
No, more so walking. Okay. I think that's what they did pretty much. But my parents were not. I mean, my dad was a diabetic, and he was a hypertensive, non-compliant, like this sugar cane in a big old bowl. So he obviously, you know, ended up dying because of some of those
health choices.
Choices, correct, which has geared me to kind of be the way that I am today.
Is that kind of flip the switch for you personally?
100%. My mom died when she was 52, mm-hmm. So that's pretty young.
Sure.
He was older. He died in his 70s, but I think a lot of those food choices that he was making probably, you know, mm-hmm. aided in that. So I have always made it a goal of mine to, you know, not let that happen. I don't want my babies to grow up without me.
Sure. So that was the big triggering factor for you, yes. Personally, just kind of say, okay, well, you know, going forward, I don't want that to be my situation.
Correct. And then obviously I came here and I did the freshman 20, freshman 15, I mean, freshman 30, whatever it's called.
Where
you just blow up and ate all the canes and ate all, you know, made all the bad choices and the, you know, drinking and all that. So then, you know, one day I just decided to go the other way. No
was
more.
It anything happened? Like, hey, just kind of looked yourself in the mirror, got stepped on the scale. What happened?
You just don't feel good.
Okay.
You just don't feel good. I mean, overall, I was still active. I mean, I still did yoga. I did Ashtanga, which was Mysore, which is a, you know, different practice. So I did do that. Mm-hmm. I always stayed active. I think I still did some spinning classes and things like that. But CrossFit, that really didn't start until I moved to Sulphur.
Well, what did you do during college before you kind of go over to the CrossFit round where you guys moved here to Sulphur? So what did you do, like, what did you do in college, like, fitness-wise?
So it was spinning and Ashtanga.
Okay.
So it was yoga.
Okay.
Mostly.
Okay. And so fast forward, we get done with school. We moved to Sulphur.
Moved to Sulphur.
Did you carry over, like, spin and all that different stuff while you were there? Or at what point in time did you finally say, okay, like, I want to try something different? And, like, how did you get into CrossFit?
I think I started at Adino over there the month that we moved here.
Like the very first month?
The very first month.
Did you know Sandy and them beforehand?
No.
No?
No, I didn't know anybody.
You saw a gym and you're just like, hey, I want to try it?
I saw a gym and I don't really remember how I ended up going in there, but I think I just saw it. It saw, you know, you obviously see it in the middle of Sulphur, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to try CrossFit. I don't think I tried CrossFit before I moved here. So I think that was my
first time.
She
just went to it completely blind. Just like, hey,
I just went into it.
I saw a gym, saw people working out. Hey, I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, what's not to love? You know, there's 1,000 movements and you never get bored. I mean, I'm not a gym rat that likes to just lift and, you know, like my better half over there. I like the variety. So I fell in love. Yeah.
Okay. And so I know obviously you did that for a period of time. And then was it when you got pregnant for Amelia the first time that you backtracked? Yeah, took a break from it?
So, yes, I got very big and pregnant with Amelia.
Which Amelia's your first.
She was my first.
Mama three.
Yeah, mama three, correct. He didn't let me finish. You focus on the 40 and then that's it. I didn't give you any more history about myself. I'm almost 40.
We kind of jumped right off track at that point.
So, yes. So, Amelia was my first. I got a little large with her, which is okay. But I was very nauseous, so I didn't feel good the mm-hmm. whole pregnancy. And then, so I took a break after Amelia. But then I picked it back up. I mean, I ended up having a C-section. So because of the C-section, then you have to wait 6 weeks after surgery. So I think I ended up picking it back up at one point in time after that, but yeah. I don't recall. It may have been like 3 months, 4 months.
No, that's for
after.
Amelia and Liam.
So for Liam, I actually was able to CrossFit up till like I was big and pregnant. I mean, I CrossFit until I was 8 months old.
Okay.
I mean, 8 months
So you
pregnant
did
with
pick up
him.
between your first
Oh,
and your second then. Okay. So I didn't know if you took like a big gap
No,
between
never
the
did.
three
No,
pregnancies.
I always went back once I could, and I
Okay.
would
And
still
same
do
thing.
things at home, because he has Colin has a gym at the house. So I mean, I still had stuff to do.
Yeah.
It was just not, you know, not in
Okay.
a box.
And so, and then same thing post Liam DeKale. Worked out between those two as
So
well.
I did. I mean, I was
Okay.
jumping boxes when I was being pregnant with Kale too
Okay.
until I almost fell. So then I was like, okay, it's time to stop jumping
Okay.
and stepping up.
And so,
I felt good with the boys. Those
and
were good
then,
pregnancies.
so just Amelia had the problems.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've gone through three pregnancies at this point in time. Obviously, you were doing CrossFit before you got pregnant. How do you feel like taking care of yourself compared to maybe other people that you've seen before as well, like maybe friends or family members? Do you feel like your fitness helped you at all, like during that process, maybe pre or post pregnancy?
What do you mean taking care?
Like taking care of your health, right? So like you stay on top of your fitness for the most part, other than
Yeah.
when you've got nauseous, things like that, or got too big to feel like you felt comfortable to work out. Do you feel like it helped during labor process? Do you feel like it helped the recovery post
Oh,
afterwards?
100%. I mean, especially having a surgery, you know, that yes, your core strength is gone, but I mean, I still could squat my way through most things, you know, in order to even go to the bathroom and or you know, attempt to anything that you do. I mean, I think your legs becomes a big part of it. So I feel like I was able to recover so easily. I mean, I was up and walking within hours of surgery.
Yeah.
I never, you know, I was never the one to stay down. So that muscle strength that I had underneath it all, I think did obviously
Wonders
benefit
for you.
my
Okay.
recovery 100%.
And so, and obviously, after Kale, was there a little bit of a bridging of a gap between you doing CrossFit and Sophomore and Hurricane? Right, there's a little bit of gap between those two.
So after Kale, so Kale is 3 years old. So after Kale, I recovered. I told Sandy, I think I was working out with him at the house mostly. I hadn't made it back to Adino, the actual, and then there wasn't a coach much of the time, so the times weren't working out for me. And then I started to go back to work full time. So then I had the schedule wasn't working for
Yeah.
me as far as like the hours to go and things like that. So I think that made more of a difference. It was just me going back to work full time because I did that after Kale. So then came December. I told Sandy, January we're going to Hurricane. I don't know what you think. I don't know what you know want to do, but you're coming with me. And she said, okay. And then January, I think first, we both
Yeah.
showed up. I
But
mean, I
you
don't
had,
remember,
but
but
you had.
January 2nd.
Well, you'd been on that raffle at the LCA auction, didn't you? Is that how you first initially started, right? Because you had been like, didn't that, we had donated like a 3 month
That is
package,
right.
yeah, at
Yes.
the
So for
LCA
that
auction.
raffle, yes, that is true. So because I was coming, I told Sandy, you got to come with me.
Yeah,
And then we both came and we've been coming ever
because we had
since.
donated a little package to
That is
LCA, and then
right. That is
you
right.
bid
That
on it.
is
It's like a
right.
little donation thing,
Yes.
and so then you obviously won the bid on that, and then
I
it
forgot about
was
that. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
and
true.
then you started from there. And so, well, tell me how overall, like, you know, I got sugarcoat, you ain't got blow smoke up my ass, but how do you feel like it's, since you've started now here to maybe, past experience or like that, how's it been for you?
So what makes Hurricane different, it is just how in tune you are with the actual gym. I mean, and how much you put into it. Because honestly, if it doesn't, if it wasn't because of you, not to blow
Smoke up
whatever,
my
you
ass.
know. But I mean, you know, you take time in making these workouts, and you take time in making sure the group, the muscle groups, you know, all kind of align with you're not working too much of the same things, you know, every day. You include leg days, sometimes more than once a week, which makes me very happy. But I think it's just the one and one. I mean, you always have a coach every time you walk in. There's always a workout already, you know, predetermined. There's a warm up that's already predetermined. There's extra strength if you want to do that as well. So it is very much organized, and I like organization.
Well, I appreciate it. There's a lot of time that goes into it, so.
I do like that, and I appreciate that as well. I mean, coming in and knowing that there is going to be somebody that will, teach me correctly so we're not injuring yourselves, because a lot of people obviously are scared of injuring yourselves. And the scaling, that was completely different. Never seen that
The
before.
color system.
The color system. So, I came in and I was straight up orange, and I am now purple brown. So that's improvement, and that's been 2 years. It's not, it didn't happen overnight, and I have had a few surgeries in between. Did I have kale after I came here?
No, you had already had kale.
Okay. So, but anyway, yeah. So I do like the organization. I do like the scaled system. So, and depending on how you're feeling, you don't necessarily have to go with that scale. You can mix and match weights and things like that. So I think the variety and the inclusion of any kind of, post-surgery. So I've been here post-surgery too. I had surgery last year. So even that I was able to modify. So there's always a modification that you can do.
Yeah,
So,
adjust.
all the coaches are very knowledgeable and assist you with all those processes. So I do appreciate that.
So, kind of switching gears a little bit, let's kind of get a little bit more personal with you and health and like fitness and family and stuff like that, and how that all kind of intertwines and kind of interacts with each other, right? So, like you being a nurse practitioner, working on an average, how many hours do you think in a week that you normally work?
Oh gosh.
On an average, say you take like a month time span, like on an average, what's a week's kind of
Well, I
look
mean,
like
I
for you?
work typically 5 days a week, if not 6 days a week. I mean, my work days can vary from 8 hour work days to 11 hours at the urgent care. So I don't know if I were to quantify that. I have no idea.
So it could be anywhere from
So
like
you talk
30
about
hours to like 50 plus hours.
Colin, how many hours do I work a week?
He's throwing out a random ass number. He don't know. So,
Sounds good.
obviously, with the amount of volume of workouts you're doing, right, being a mom of three, how do you prioritize? How does like health prioritizing that in that busy schedule that you have? Because so many people will use that as kind of like a backup or an excuse, so to speak. Like, well, I work 40 plus hours and I have kids, three kids, and they have places to go and things like that, right? But you still manage to come in here at least
I do.
4 or 5 times a
I do
week.
5, 6 times a week. That is my goal. Last week was an exception. I think it's pretty up there. And I think what helps me is that he is the same way. So, the meal prep is important to us. What we're eating, what I'm feeding my children, all those things are important. The movement, we've had Liam, the other day he wanted to wad with us. So we made him a little mini wad that he was doing, and he they see that. They want to do that. They want to do the th same things that you are doing. But I make it a priority. So 6:45, I'm always here if I have to be at work for 8. So that gives me like 10 minutes to like shower real quick and then make it, to work. So I think it's pretty up there on my list. I mean, it's not number one, but it's kind of like number two.
Well, like Sarah Margaret said, it's, if it's important enough to you, you'll find the time to fit into your schedule.
100%. Yeah. So there's classes all day long. So I come at,
Like at 6:45,
I
you come
come
at
at
8,
6:45.
3 o'clock.
I come at 8 sometimes. I come at 3 o'clock sometimes. And I've even made it some noon classes, if my patients, if my on Tuesdays, I sometimes don't have patients in the afternoon. So I make it at any time. So I make it work. And then obviously I have a husband that helps me out with that part, because when I come at 6:45 before work, then he has to get all the babies to school. So you obviously have to have a partner that's helping you with this, and or a nanny, if you don't have a partner, so
Help you
get
out with
some
that.
help. Because that's the only way, and especially because we live in Sulphur, so
It's a little, yeah, it's a little bit more of a
that's
drive for you.
still a big drive. I mean, commitment is that me I drove here in that weather the other day. That is commitment. That's
That
consistency.
is pretty hardcore, I'm not
That
gonna lie. When somebody told me that you drove up here on that tornado day, I said, damn.
I did not know that's what I was doing. I did not
Y'all didn't
know.
know about the weather that day?
I didn't, but he didn't tell me, and he's my
It's your
weatherman.
fault,
It's my
Colin. It's all your
weatherman.
fault.
So yeah, I don't read, I don't see, I don't, and when I came out, it was just a little drizzled until anyway, so yeah, I make it here.
Well, I mean, how often do people tell you, use that excuse of like time? Like, I don't have the time
But even if you don't have the time, but how do you not have a time?
But I mean, but I mean,
then,
like,
then don't watch a show for 30 minutes.
Well, I mean, how often do you hear that excuse though from people? Because I'm sure people obviously know how important your health is to you, right? Like how, like, whether you're cooking, or you're food prepping, or you're working out, right? I'm sure people put you in that square of like, well, she takes care of her health,
yeah,
right? But how many people come to like, well, I would, but I just don't have the time.
Well, that's BS a little bit.
But I mean, how often do you hear that?
How
very often?
Do you hear very that? Often. Okay. Very often. But then I will sit with them because this is something, obviously, as a nurse practitioner and a patient tells me that, for example, I was like, well, let's just take a look at your day. And then let's see where there may be time. Because, I mean, 20 minutes is really all you need for most of these watts.
Mm-hmm.
You have the availability of Hurricane at home, even that I have done when I'm traveling. So even when you're traveling,
sure,
you know, I will find a time. I will go and, you know, we'll take turns and go into the gym,
mm-hmm,
and just get it in, you know, if they don't allow the kids at the gym.
Yeah.
Which is some places.
Some places
don't allow them. But if they're allowed, then they'll come in there with us. But I think there's always going to be time. So even if it is, meaning if I'm going to help him and or if he has work and I have to bring them all to school, then I'm going to get up at 5 and attempt to do that before, you know, I have to tend to the
sure
kids. And so you can get up earlier. You can cut something short.
Establishing that time.
You just have to make the choice.
Yeah.
And I start with the patients. I tell them, okay, give me 2 days a week. Can you make that your goal? Have realistic expectations. You cannot expect yourself to go from not working out at all to doing it 6 times a week. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, have a realistic expectations for yourself.
Well, I feel like that's a very common error that a lot of people make, is that they see what you do, like almost a mimic what Nikki does, right? And so they go from zero physical activity to trying to go 5 to 6. It's a lot of volume really quickly,
yeah,
right? You're trying to jump from, it'd be like you trying to take like piano lessons or something and going 6 days a week piano lessons.
Mm-hmm.
This is not realistic. Like, to start on the very base level, like what's the bare minimum that we can get in that doesn't feel overwhelming, but it's still something that I'm going to have to establish to have and build upon that.
Yeah.
Right. And so, as a mom, obviously, especially having 3 kids and working that full-time job, like I had this conversation with Sarah Margaret as well, that, you know, some people can say, well, my kids' schedule conflicts with me getting my workouts in as well. And like you said, it's a little bit of kind of establishing that time, that appointment, no matter what, even if it may mean like I have to sacrifice 30 minutes of family time to get that in sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. And I think some people will use anything that can pop up to pull them away from taking care of themselves in that sense. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's simple enough to say, like, it's just not on your hierarchy of needs of where you need to be or what you really want to take care of, right? Like, and I'm not saying that your family's not important and your husband's not important, your work's not important, right? But like the old saying goes, you can't pour from an empty glass.
Mm-hmm.
And also use this as like the quantity versus quality aspect as well, where if you have 2 to 3 hours in the afternoon with your kids, like, yes, you want to spend that time with them, but also if you can etch out 30 minutes, you're gonna have better quality with them by that time as well. You've taken that moment to take care of yourself, and you have a little more patience with them, and you have a little bit more understanding because you've actually taken time to take care of yourself for a moment and not feel like you're just sacrificing yourself to everybody all day long. And I don't know if you can resonate with that as well.
No, 100%. But that, I mean, just touching on schedules and extracurricular. So my babies are in gymnastics. They do dance. And you can relate to all those. They do, you know, football, soccer when it's time for that. So Kale just got into gymnastics on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So Kale called me out yesterday because he saw me at 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuesdays, I typically come at 3.
Yep.
And I was like, well, my schedule changed. So now Kale goes to gymnastics in the evening.
Yeah.
So I have to be able to bring him
yeah
after work. So after work, I have to go home and get him. So now I have to come 6:45 in the morning.
You had to pivot.
So I had to pivot. Correct.
You had to adjust.
Okay, Colin, sorry. So you're going to have the babies, you know, on Tuesday mornings now because, you know, and I do what I can. Like, I'll make their breakfast and everything, and I see them off. I lay out their clothes. You know, I attempt to see them a little bit before I have to leave.
Yeah.
But that's why in the morning time, I'm always 5-10 minutes late. And, you know, that's established. So I miss part of the warm-up. But I'm here.
Yeah.
That's the only time. I mean, that's the only way that I can make it with three babies at home. But yeah, so you pivot. So, and then you just make it work. So, I mean, there is a way of making all those things work. And you just said the children and, you know, you want to spend the two quality hours with them in the evenings or what have you. Well, then include them.
Sure.
They love doing. So what I did with Liam was we gave him 2.5 little weights. So, you know, it was, chest press. And I think it was, what was it? Power cleans. So Liam was doing little power cleans with his 2.5 weights. And then while we biked, or he rode, I biked, Liam biked with his little bicycle, you know, around until we were done. So he was doing the cardio too.
Yeah.
So you just include that.
It's like playtime.
It's playtime. They love it.
I think it's
they
a good time. Like, they're spending time with you.
Yes.
Right? Like, just because you're not hands-on touching each other, like, or talking to each other, doesn't mean it's still not quality time.
No, right? Bring them outside, give them some weights, like, they make them do something. I mean, push-ups, they love doing push-ups. All my babies love doing push-ups.
Yeah.
The ring rows, they love those things. So I think if you find a way of including them, then you're going to find the 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, if they won't sit, they won't do, they won't partake, then give them an iPad for 20, 30 minutes, you know? You give them to them the rest of the day. 20, 30 minutes is not going to hurt it.
Well, you sacrifice so much time for them already, you know, as it is, as a parent. And I think that's such a common thing that people, they, it's all about, once again, what you're placing as a priority. Because some people will use, like, their phone as their escape time, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's eating into your family time. And you're, even though you're with your kids, you're on your phone,
yeah.
right? And compared to saying, okay, let me just go etch out 30 minutes to go work out and take care of myself for a moment and actually take care of my health. And then I can have 90 minutes now with my kids without being on my phone.
Yeah.
Because even though you are physically in the same room with them, doesn't necessarily that you're spending time with them.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. And I think, once again, going back to, I think people like to take those things and then use that and kind of put it in their back pocket. It's like, well, that's why I can't work out.
Right. So put down the phone when you walk into the house. So I think that's, and I mean, I do have that issue with a lot of people. Not mentioning any names, but like that you just grab your phone and you just get lost in the TikTok and the Facebook and the Instagram and all this. And I mean, how much, and I love that the Apple, I think the phone quantifies
you.
That for you now, how much you're actually spending in all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Take 10 minutes out of that in a day, take 20 minutes out of that in the day, put your phone up and see how much more time you have for all these activities.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you honestly do. So,
because it'll show you, at the, like, I think
does.
Even Sundays,
it'll
show you, like, hey, this is what you averaged each day on your phone.
On your phone.
And then you actually go in and look at each individual app and say, okay, we spent 2 hours on Facebook.
Yes.
You know?
So it's pretty impressive that it does that. So look at your phone and see how much time you're spending on it and then cut that out and, you know, pick up a dumbbell. I mean, I don't know. Go run. Like, do something. So, and this is where it comes. So at urgent care, we're there for 11 hours. So you remember when you did that 10,000 steps?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the only way for me to get those in, unless you had a run that day in the WOD, was I got a little stepper that Colin had when he worked.
They have like little hydraulics on it?
Yeah. So I got one of those.
It's almost like the step machine, but like in place.
So I did that. I did that every single day that I was at work because that's the only way that I could get my 10,000 steps in.
Yeah.
So now all my nurses have a stepper.
They all use it?
So they all have one. They all use it. So
nice.
Then now they're all stepping. So instead of sitting all day long, I have them, and they all compete against each other, like seeing how many steps.
And that's fun. Yeah.
Isn't that awesome, though?
Yeah,
so
awesome.
That, I mean, I brought that to clinic, and now clinic is doing that. All my nurses that were just sitting there all day, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, raining outside, whatever, then now they're stepping.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of them.
Well, I think people try to overcomplicate it. Like, it has to be something extravagant of a workout, right? Where if all these pieces aren't together, then it can't be, that can't work out.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could just be as simple as trying to get in the 10,000 steps every single day as like, as just an establishing stepping goal of like trying to achieve better health.
Yeah.
Right. Or even just getting a pair of dumbbells, like, hey, I'm gonna get a pair of dumbbells. I'm gonna set a 10 minute clock and I'm gonna do 10 dumbbell squats, 10 pushups and 10 air squats.
That's it.
Right. Like, and that's establishing of some type of healthy routine. I think people think they need to go to, like,
a physical location
and do all these things. And that's not always the case. Sure, if your schedule allows you to do that, sure. But you only do that twice a week, and you got to do 2 or 3 days a week with just a pair of dumbbells or at home, like in one little spot, and do it all body weight. That's fine too.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're going to have like the most incredible looking body in the world by any means, but it's still going to allow you to be a lot more healthy and shed pounds that you want to shed and get into a healthier rate a lot better than where you are currently. You know,
Yeah.
and I think people sometimes they try to overanalyze it and make it a bigger deal than what it really
And
has to
it's
be.
really
And
not
simple things, like little
movement.
step and things that could really go a really long ways. And so I think one thing as well that people are interested in, as you guys as a family with little kids, especially little ones, is nutrition side of things. So, like obviously, like our kids, they're kids. They all like to eat shit, right? They love candy. They love cereal. They love pizza. They love ice cream. But how do you guys establish a more of a healthy eating routine in your household with your kids?
So I have done a lot of reading and a lot of kind of research on that because I think that I have or me and my sister have like just an unhealthy relationship with food.
What
So
do you mean by that?
meaning,
Break that down for a second.
so food is sustenance, right? So you need food to live.
Yes.
So instead of eating to live, we were living to eat kind of thing. Like
Okay.
basically, you know, we're foodies, we like restaurants, we like nice foods, and
Is that something from culture or
yeah,
upbringing?
it may be, not quite sure, but binge eating, you know, for example. So I have had that, and I do still kind of do that every once in a while.
I
I'm
think everybody to a
unable.
degree has that kind of somewhat built into their
Right.
system.
So like Oreos is just one of those things. Like I can't just eat one Oreo. I want to eat the whole
Whole
thing.
sleeve.
The whole sleeve, like, or the whole,
The whole
no,
container.
don't judge me, but the whole container. I mean, it comes in a big old thing. It's not necessarily just one
Yeah.
sleeve. But so
Have you
that.
seen the, is it not Snickerdoodle? Is it Churro Oreos? Have you seen those?
No, don't,
I saw
don't.
something about that the other day. I was
Let's
like,
just
that
not.
actually looks pretty damn
Just
legit.
let's just
I don't know how
not.
good it is, but that sounds
Let's
pretty
just
damn good.
not. Let's
A
just not try
Churro Oreo
it. Just
sounds
let's just not
fucking
try
legit,
it.
bro.
Let's just not try
Just
it.
saying.
Just not try it because
That's true. If you don't know what you don't
if
have,
you
then you're not a big
don't
deal.
know, yeah. So, because of that in my head, it's an unhealthy relationship with food. Meaning, like, why can't I just have one little
Why can't you
Oreo?
find balance with it, right? Like, why
Right.
can't you just have like two or three be satisfied that? Like, why do I
Right.
have to see red and feel like I need to establish the whole entire thing of the whole entire sleeve or
Yeah.
whole entire container of it?
So, and then you just feel bad afterwards, like it's not worth it. So I don't really do that often. I don't buy those things. So it just becomes
Norm.
if we don't buy it, it's not there, so it's not going to happen. But as far as for the kids, so we do try to every single meal is going to have their protein, it's going to have their vegetables, they're going to have their fruits, it's going to have their carb. So a very round based meal. So they know that if I made it or daddy made it, then that's what they're going to eat. So there's no plan B. There's no, oh, can you make me something else? No, that doesn't exist. I didn't grow up that way. You're going to eat what we made. So it's a
Not making
very,
separate meals. You're not like, this is what we're eating,
no,
this is what the kids are eating.
no, 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 no.
See, we don't do this. Like, this is the conversation me and Kale had, like, same exact thing. We don't make separate meals for our kids, right? If they want, let's say maybe we do make something and they're like, well, I really don't want to eat. So let's say it's pork chops, an example. Well, like, you can have some of the food prep we've had in the fridge, or you can have
Right,
chicken,
right,
you can have
right.
ground meat,
Yeah,
you can have
these are
sweet
the
potato.
options. This is what we have.
Like, but I'm
This
not making you
a whole new
corn
meal.
dogs.
No. And I mean, we will make them corn dogs like on weekends. So I mean, don't turn your nose at corn dogs
No, but I'm
either
just saying on a regular, like it's a
on
regular
a daily
Tuesday.
basis. Yeah.
Yes.
So it does when they go to school. I can't control that, you know. So Liam's school, they have their lunch catered, and you know, I have seen it. So for the most part, it's a pretty wholesome, you know, but maybe more carb heavy, you
Sure.
know. So and that's okay. So I know that I can't control what they eat for lunch, for example. So I'm going to control what they eat for breakfast, what they have as a snack. So they only are allowed one dried snack a day. Nobody judged me. And that is after dinner has been eaten. And while they watch that, while they do their screen time, you know, so 6 p.m., 7 p.m. So at that
Sure.
time, they get to go to the pantry and pick out one dried snack. And from there, I do try to keep, you know, healthy options or healthier options. But for example, their latest addiction is seaweed. That's a dried snack. Seaweed. Okay. My babies love their seaweed. So yeah, y'all should try it. It's a good snack, but it's a dried snack and it's in the pantry.
Sure.
And they have all the choices. You know, they'll have the little, what do you call those? Sandwich cheese thingies, the organic ones that don't have bad ingredients. They'll have the chips, the veggie chips and things like that. So meaning like from all those options, when they go for those, that seaweed, I'm proud.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't not be, but so yeah, so they know. And when I go shop, I have Amelia reading labels with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask her what's the protein content in that. And she'll tell me.
Okay.
So it's pretty, you know, you try to teach them. So these are things that nobody ever did with me.
Well, that's kind of the same concept with me as a kid. Like, I didn't know what a protein, carb, or fat was as a kid, right? I didn't think about calories in my box. And it's not like you want to be so consumed with those things, right? But understanding and being more mindful of, hey, these things are more wholesome. What's going to provide me better health,
energy,
and nourish me and provide me with the ability to do other things in life better. And these are the foods that are foods that maybe taste a little better, but I also know that if I overindulge in these foods, there's me constantly what's happening, just like with anything in life, right?
Yeah.
I think like a better way to frame it when it comes to food is like, these are your always foods and these are your sometimes foods, right? Like these are foods that, you know, if it comes to the ground, if you can kill it or grow it or has like a face on it, these are probably your safe foods that you can go with, right? These are going to be really good foods for you to help take care of your health. But here's some things that you know that didn't come from the ground, it wasn't an animal, that these things maybe taste better, but they're also going to not necessarily make you feel the best afterwards, you know? So in establishing those boundaries and that balance with your kids, because you don't want to have like an unhealthy relationship with food, or like giving that to your kids where you're like, well, if you eat this, it's going to make you really fat. And like, you don't,
so, no,
and
correct.
Shame them.
So
you don't want to shame them.
That's where it comes. Like, that's where that comes. Because a lot of the research shows that you should just put the little cookie right there. You should just put the little chocolate right there. So they have that exposure and they know it's okay to eat that.
Yeah.
So I am at fault by sometimes telling them, you can't touch a cookie until you've ate all the rest, you know, because I am at fault. So I don't know, you know, you can't be perfect at everything. Yeah. So that is one of those things that I will put the cookie there for them. Mm-hmm. And they're very excited about the cookie, but I'm going to want them to eat something in the rest of the plate. And then also, you know, a lot of it also says you need to put what you want them to eat or something that you want them to try. Say, for example, your kids, you say they don't want to eat the pork chop or whatever. So the pork chop's there, but then they'll have a vegetable, broccoli. They eat broccoli every single time. Then the apples, they eat apples every single time. So I make sure that around whatever I'm trying to expose them to or get them to try, they still have other food groups that they actually do eat, you know, that will actually sustain them. But I think that builds a healthier relationship if they have that exposure. So like I said, for example, in my pantry, they will have a little bit of those bad things, not the sugar. The sugar's all out of reach, but a little bit of the bad, quote unquote, chips and things like that, that they shouldn't be eating every single day, but they're right there. So they can make that choice.
Sure.
So they do have that exposure. That way, when they go and they're at, you know, whatever party or somebody else's house and they have an option of picking something, hopefully they'll pick the fruit and hopefully they'll pick the other things. And I do have like fruits always available for them, meaning like a bowl of them, and they can go and grab it if they want a fruit. And then there's a deli drawer, you know, with the cheese and the deli meats and things like that.
So
and
quick,
they can
easy options
so quick and
to.
Easy options that they can always get to, because I mean, kids snack all day long. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, always that's all they want to do. And then when you sit them out to eat, then they sometimes don't want that food, but I know that they've already had some protein, you know, for the most of the day.
Yeah.
So
controlling their environment better.
Yeah.
Right. Where you're
doing the best
you're setting up for success to make better choices throughout the day, compared to just having, you know, the cereal or the chips or the candy at an easier access rate, like putting in areas that, like you said, you're controlling what kind of exposure they get to it, but you're not completely eliminating it though either.
No.
Right.
No, and so I think, that's not realistic.
No, you got to find that where's that proper line. And sometimes you can take it one extreme or the other, right? Where you don't want to be that such health conscious person where you're slapping, you know, suckers out of their hands and stuff like that.
Right. They're also kids.
They're kids. And they got to live kids. And I think it's one of those things where you can kind of relate it to like the mom who's overly protective of their kid in high school and they get into college and they go buck wild like in parties and stuff like that and drugs and alcohol because they're like, well, their mom sheltered them so much away from everything.
No, you need exposure.
You gotta kind of drip feed some of that bad stuff to them to allow them to kind of expose to it and know how to where that balancing act is a little bit.
So they know how to decide for themselves.
Yep.
I mean, and that's what comes into play. So, most of my babies, I mean, I guess Kale probably still not, but Liam and Amelia can tell you what the protein is in their plate. And they pretty much know, okay, I should eat that one first. That's important.
Yeah.
That one's important. And, you know, they'll go through phases. So you said the animal protein, you know, if it has a phase, you know, you're pretty much safe. Don't tell that to Amelia. So Amelia went to the phase, she don't want to eat any animals because they had faces on them.
Oh.
So I can't say it that way to her, you know?
No, I mean, I was...
No, I know, but I'm just saying. So, like, she went through a phase, she just did not want to eat any animals.
So, like
so she knew that was protein, she knew that was animal. I was like, well, mama. So then I made her some beans, you know, and legumes, and, like, I tried to, like, bring in the protein some other way. But it was very funny. Like, she just went through a phase, she didn't want to eat animals. But she's over that now, thankfully. That only lasted
a few
months.
Got a little worried there for a second.
Huh?
Got a little worried for a second.
Yeah, I got a little worried for a second. I don't know how to, you know, we're going to have to do protein shakes or something like that for you, baby girl. But no, she got over it, luckily.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you just do what you can. You expose them to the most and then feed them what you think is best. But yeah, we will meal prep every week and then they will eat one to twice. I mean, I like them eating different things every day.
Yeah.
I like them not eating the same thing, you know, all week long. So we will. So if we've meal prepped and, you know, they've already had one of the burger patties, they've already had some of the whatever shrimp. They like grilled everything. So we'll grill a bag of shrimp. We'll grill some chicken and then have that also in Tupperware. So just for them, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, you just make them what they like too.
But
they're good about eating pretty much everything.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool deal. Well, anything else you want to kind of jam on real quick or anything else we missed on that you feel like is kind of important that you want to talk about?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure before we sign off on this one.
No.
So, I appreciate you coming in and sharing your story and your background and obviously, you know, how you and Colin operate as a family and the kids operate and stuff like that. So
teamwork. Really, teamwork makes a dream work.
Teamwork makes a dream work. And also it helps out having a partner who takes health as seriously, if not even more seriously sometimes than other times. And so it helps out a ton because I always tell people, like, your biggest factor that's going to come from you being successful or not successful is the people you're going to surround yourself with, their environment. And, like, and having a spouse that takes health very seriously, because in situations like that where you're like, hey, I got to go work out in the morning, they're like, you're not leaving me here with three kids by myself, you know, like, that become animosity and stuff like that. And so it helps out a ton having a spouse. And allows you to be a lot more successful with that because it'd be a whole other hurdle that you'd have to get over on a regular basis and a spouse that you have to fight on a regular basis if they didn't take health seriously. That would be a whole other case.
Well,
scenario.
You're a better parent. I mean, you're the mental health that comes from it, you know, so it just makes me happy. So if I'm happy, then I'm a better mom.
If mama's happy,
I'm a
everybody's
better nurse
happy,
practitioner.
Right?
I'm a better wife, you know, so.
Gotta take care of mama.
You got, so that is just, you know, it's just my hour a day. So you can find some time to do those things. I mean, it just makes you feel better all around. So.
Okay. Well, good deal. I appreciate it, Nikki.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yay.
That's a wrap, Colin.